Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome this evening. Welcome Warramu Baptist Church. Welcome Cornerstone Baptist Church. Welcome folk from the community. Glad that you're here this evening, and I want to bring you a short message this evening and trust that it's a blessing to you as you listen. I trust those carols are a blessing. I've been singing my heart out as I've been sitting down the front there and joining in with everyone too. So let's have a word of prayer. Our great God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have brought these folk together tonight. Thank you that we're here. Thank you that we have a Savior to sing about. Thank you for the singing that has gone up, and we pray that it brings glory to you. Now, Lord, help us to meditate on your word a bit tonight so that we might see where we had not seen before. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, the title of the little thought tonight is In Disguise. For 51 years, Bob Edens was blind. He couldn't see a thing. He was in a dark black hole for more than 5 decades. He felt his way through those 5 decades of life, and then he could see. A surgeon performed an operation. For the first time, Edens was able to see. He found it overwhelming. "I never would have dreamed that yellow is so yellow," he said. "It is so great. But red is my favorite color. I just can't believe red. And I can see the moon. And I can see a plane in the sky and the vapor trail that it leaves behind. And the morning, the sunrises and the sunset so beautiful. I can see the shape of the moon. You could never know how wonderful everything is." And he's right. Those of us who have lived a lifetime with vision cannot know how wonderful it would be to see for the first time. But Bob Edens isn't the only one who's spent a lifetime near something without seeing it. Few are the people who don't suffer from some form of blindness. Amazing, isn't it? We can live next to something for a lifetime, but because we don't focus on it, we never see it. Think about it. Just because someone has witnessed 1,000 rainbows doesn't mean that we've ever seen the grandeur of a rainbow. Or you might live next to a garden. Doesn't mean that we've seen the splendor of a flower. A man can spend a lifetime with a woman and never pause to look into her soul. Some of us have come to Christmas carols year after year for decades, and yet we are blind. We've never focused on the one in the manger to understand who he is. Sad that. Let's take a better look tonight. The Bible provides 2 independent accounts of the birth of Jesus. One is from an eyewitness, that is Matthew. Another one is from a historian who used primary source accounts, that is Dr. Luke. And yet a third explains what the birth meant to us, that is John. Wonderfully accurate and consistent independent sources for us to know the truth of these events. As we examine the accounts of Jesus' birth and the days that followed, we discover that in regard to Jesus, there are 2 groups of people. In regard to Jesus, the first group of men, women and children are those that are blind, those who didn't know him, those who didn't see beyond the skin. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." You can understand, can't you? No king wants a competitor. Either you eliminate your competitors or you are eliminated. And yes, and all the hangers-on, those who have positions of authority underneath the king, want the king to continue in his place of authority because otherwise they might lose their positions of authority too. Herod consulted with the chief priests and scribes, and they told him the truth that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem according to a prophecy that was by that time 700 years old. And he got that information from them, and so Herod sent the wise men to Bethlehem in exchange for the information of when the star appeared. But the wise men did not return to Herod to tell the exact location of this new king. So the history records Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Herod and all Jerusalem with him were blind to who this one Jesus, who was said to be a new king, they were blind to who he was. Fast forward a quarter of a century, and Jesus said to the people in Jerusalem, just 6 months before he died, he said, "You do not know where I come from and where I am going." On the same trip to Jerusalem, Jesus healed a man who had been born blind. And the leadership in Jerusalem said, "We know that God spoke to Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, Jesus, we do not know where he is from." And the man born blind replied, "Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. A man born blind, who has heard of such a thing?" Indeed, it is an amazing thing. Jesus caused the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. He caused the poor to hear the gospel. He caused lepers to be clean. And yet people were blind to who he was. Please take another look. And this time look beyond the manger. The last time Jesus visited Jerusalem, he wept, because they were yet blind, and said, "You did not know the time of your visitation." Even the night before the crucifixion, Jesus' own disciples still seemed to be at least partially blind. Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus was amazed by this comment, and he replied, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Do you see what Jesus was saying? Do you understand who Jesus is? John summarized the whole tragic blindness to Jesus' birth, Jesus' blindness to Jesus' life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, people not understanding. John summarized saying in John 10 and verse 10, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him." Similarly, Paul summarized, "Men and brethren, to you the word of this salvation has been sent." He said, "I'm bringing you the good news. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled those prophecies in condemning him." They didn't know him. They didn't know the prophecies about him. His birth was prophesied. The blindness of men was prophesied. So was the crucifixion prophesied. And yet we did to the Lord Jesus what God always said would be done to him. Sadly, dear friends, so many are blind. So being aware of the danger of blindness, let's take another look at his birth. A manger, you've heard lots of Christmas presentations, I'm sure, and I'm sure you know that a manger is an animal feeding trough. And so we presume from that, that the place in which Jesus was born was a stable. Yet, if someone were to chance on that stable, what a peculiar scene they would have seen that Bethlehem morning, those early hours just after midnight. The stable stinks like all stables do. There's cobwebs toward the ceiling and on the walls. Maybe a mouse scurries across the floor. A more lowly place of birth you could not imagine. The shepherds have arrived. They sit silently on the floor, amazed, perplexed, in awe. Their night watch has been broken by a myriad of angels, and the night sky lit up. God goes to those who have time to hear him. So on this cloudless night, he went to the shepherds. Near the young mother sits the weary father. If anyone is dozing, it is Joseph. He can't remember the last time he sat down. All the fuss seems to have settled down now, and Mary and the baby are comfortable. He leans against the wall of the stable and starts to nod off. What's important is the baby is fine and Mary is fine. As sleep comes, he remembers the name that the angel has told him. You'll call his name Jesus. Wide awake is Mary. My, how young she looks. Her head rests on the soft leather of Joseph's saddle. The pain has been eclipsed by wonder. She looks into the face of her babe, her son, her Lord, his majesty. At this point in history, the person that understands best what has happened is a teenage girl in a smelly stable. Somehow Mary knows that she is holding the promised king. She remembers the words of the angel, of his kingdom there will be no end. He looks anything but like a king. His face is wrinkled and red and his cry is the cry of any baby. And he is absolutely dependent upon Mary for his well-being. Majesty in the midst of the mundane. Holiness amongst sweat and manure. She touches the face of the infant. How long was your journey? She wonders. Morning breaks and Bethlehem hums. The merchants are unaware that the Lord of glory has visited their little village. The innkeeper would never believe that he had just sent away the king. And the people would scoff at anyone who told them that the Messiah had arrived and was in the arms of a teenager on the outskirts of their village. They were all too busy to consider the possibility, and the way he had come was so unexpected. Those who missed his majesty's arrival that night missed it not because of evil acts or malice. No, they missed it because they weren't looking. Little has changed in 2,000 years, has it? If there is any time we should consider the birth of the king, yes, but that underestimates who he is too. If there is any time we should consider his birth, surely it is Christmas. But Christmas is, well, so busy, so flat out, so exhausting, just like the buzz of that census in early Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, so that there was no room for him in the inn. And so many missed who he was. So, dear friend, are you still one of those who are blind, who don't know him, who can't see beyond that babe in the manger? They would call him Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. In regard to Jesus, the second group of men and women is the seeing, those who recognized him, those who saw through the disguise. No, he didn't look like a king. His majesty was certainly veiled, but there were those whose eyes were opened to who he was. And the first of those was Mary. Mary was told, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Son of God. There's a clue. She was not married. And she had not been immoral, and this most unique of all situations in all of history had been prophesied by the prophet Isaiah again some 700 years before. He said, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, Emmanuel means God with us. Isn't that another clue? God with us, Son of God. Mary believed the word of the Lord, so we read, Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. The second to believe was Elizabeth. Elizabeth and Mary were related, and they were both pregnant at the same time, only Elizabeth was 6 months ahead of Mary. And Mary came to visit Elizabeth. At that time, Elizabeth exclaimed, but why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me. This one was the Lord of Mary. He was the Lord of Elizabeth. And that Lord was in Mary's womb, who is the Lord of all. Zacharias, father of John the Baptist, was slow to believe. He was skeptical, but he came to believe too. At the birth of John the Baptist, he said of his son John, "And you, child, will be called prophet of the highest." And of Jesus, the father of John the Baptist, Zacharias said that Jesus would come to give light to those who sit in darkness and shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. He came to give sight that we might truly see. Joseph, who would be the husband of Mary and the legal but not biological father of Jesus, was the fourth to believe. He was told by the angel in Matthew, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And Joseph, we know he believed because he obeyed the words of the angel. To those who knew Jesus at that time, they began to multiply, those who knew him. The angels told the shepherds in Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, "There is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." Yes, they believed and they spread the news. "Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child." About 6 weeks later, the baby Jesus was taken to the temple in Jerusalem. Simeon, who was waiting for the Messiah, said of Jesus at that time, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." And Anna, who was also there in the temple, the scripture says of her, "And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel." And Peter would say of Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Thomas, on seeing Jesus risen from the dead, would say, "My Lord and my God." These people knew Jesus as the Redeemer, the Saviour, the Light of the world, the Lord of glory, the Son of God, and God the Son. Do you see? Do you understand? Do you get it? Are your eyes opened? Can you see past the disguise of a baby? Can you see past the disguise of a child who grew up in Nazareth? Can you see past the disguise of a servant who came and walked among men and loved them? Can you see that he is more than a mere man? John could, and John wrote in John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." And Paul, after much persuasion, was able to see the Saviour, and he explained to the rest of us, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." In other words, he was God, and he didn't grasp at his rights as God. He made himself of no reputation. In other words, he gave up his rights, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Being honest alone won't help you to see him. Being moral alone won't help you to see him, or being religious doesn't necessarily mean that you'll see him. Until we see him for ourselves, until we grasp the Lord Jesus with our own sight, we may think we see him when we've only seen a hazy form of his likeness. May I ask tonight, have you personally seen him? Have you caught a glimpse of his majesty? Maybe a word is placed in a receptive crevice of your heart and you go, ah. Maybe you hear a verse read in a tone that you've never heard or explained in a way you'd never thought, and the puzzle clicks into place and you get it. Someone touches your painful spirit as only one sent from the Lord could touch you. And you see the Lord Jesus, the bronze Galilean who spoke with such thunderous authority and loved with such childlike humility. The living God, the one who claimed to be greater than time, older than time, and greater than death. Gone is the pomp of religion. Gone is the fog of theology. And there he stands, the Lord Jesus. Have you seen him? Those who did were never the same. Remember them saying, Thomas, my Lord and my God. I have seen the Lord, exclaimed Mary Magdalene. We have seen his glory, declared John. Were not our hearts burning within us, said the two on the Emmaus road. But Peter said it best. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. His majesty, the emperor, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the noble ruler of the kingdom, all the splendor of heaven in a human body. For a period ever so brief, the doors of heaven were opened and the king came and dwelt amongst us. God came near. His majesty was seen. Heaven touched the earth and as a result, the earth can know heaven. In astounding tandem, a human body housed God the Son. Holiness and earthliness intertwined. This is no run-of-the-mill Messiah. His story was extraordinary. He was the Lord of glory, and yet he allowed a minimum wage Roman soldier put a nail through his wrist and nail him to a cross. He demanded purity, yet stood for the rights of a prostitute. We can't regard him simply as a good teacher. His claims are too outrageous for that. Nor can we categorize him as one of many prophets sent to reveal eternal truths. His own claims eliminate that possibility. He was far more than any of these. Who do you say Jesus is? Can you see past the disguise of the baby? Can you see past the disguise of the servant? Who do you say that Jesus is? It is the greatest question to ask, and it is the greatest question to answer. Your answer, your own answer, reveals whether you now see or whether you are yet blind. Dear friend, avoid the Christmas bustle and take time to look if you are not ready to decide right now. But every one of us must decide who Jesus is. And if you have decided right, now you value his birth. Now you understand what all the fuss is about. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing to us your Son. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.